Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Two Won't Do Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 17th, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in New Process Steel v. National Labor Relations Board. The question in this case was whether, following a delegation of the National Labor Relations Board's powers to a three-member group, two members may continue to exercise that delegated authority once the groups and the board's membership falls to two. In an opinion delivered by Justice Stevens, the court held that two board members cannot exercise the board's authority. The court reasoned that the only way to harmonize and give meaningful effect to all of the provisions of the relevant federal law is to require that the delegee group maintain a membership of at least three. To discuss the case, we have John N. Rodabaugh, who is counsel at Nixon Peabody LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Rodabaugh.
This is John Rodabaugh with Nixon Peabody. I've been asked to speak briefly about the recent Supreme Court decision decided June 17, 2010, in New Process Steel versus the National Labor Relations Board. At issue was the legitimacy of some 600 decisions by the board decided between the period January 1, 2008 through March 27, 2010. The problem confronting the courts was the legitimacy of these decisions because at the time the board had been reduced down to two members because of the expiration of terms and recess appointments. The five-member board, which was created by the Taft-Hartley amendments to the National Labor Relations Act in 1947, increased the size of the board from three members to five members. And the process of assigning cases at the board is to panels of three. From time to time, a board member recuses himself or herself, in which case, very occasionally, rarely, a decision may issue with just two members. But at issue before the courts was whether or not the board could effectively or properly operate with only two members for some 26, 27 months. The decision was 5-4, with the majority opinion written by Justice Stevens. Joining with him was Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito, Scalia, and Thomas. Interestingly, the majority characterized what the board did at the end of 2007 as a Rube Goldberg-style delegation mechanism, delegating to a group of three, allowing a term to expire, and then continuing with a two-member quorum of a phantom delegee group. The court went on to say, surely this is a bizarre way for the board to achieve the authority to decide cases with only two members. To conclude that Congress intended to authorize such a procedure to contravene the three-member board quorum would require evidence of that intent. At issue is Section 3B under the National Labor Relations Act, or Wagner Act, as amended by the Taft-Hartley amendments of 1947. The board is authorized to delegate to any group of three or more members any or all of the powers which it may itself exercise. A vacancy in the board shall not impair the right of the remaining members to exercise all of the powers of the board, and three members of the board shall at all times constitute a quorum of the board, except that two members shall constitute a quorum of any group designated pursuant to the first sentence hereof. Well, you can imagine an oral argument, much less even jumping into reading the briefs, the 5-3, the quorum, the delegation, the vacancy, all of this became quite confusing at first for anyone to follow along. What the statute sets up and what the majority decided was that the expansion of the board from 3 members to 5 in 1947, along with the 3B amendments, allows a 5-member board, or theoretically a 4-member board, to delegate to a group of 3 or more its powers. If there is a vacancy, the quorum, delegated quorum, can continue to operate. From time to time, someone may be recused and decisions may issue with 2 members, a minimum of 2, of a delegated group quorum of 3. So this was what was at issue, and quite frankly, what occurred at the end of December of 07 was the board had gone from 5 to 4 with the departure of then-Chairman Batista on December 16, and then the board was down to 4 members with members Walsh and Kersenow's recess appointments expiring on December 31. So the 4 members delegated to 3, Kersenow, Schomburg, and Liebman, the powers of the board, so they meant this delegation to a group of 3. Now, what was at issue was they did all of this essentially at the last minute because Senator Harry Reid had prevented any recess appointments being made, much less consideration of nominees to the board during the last year or so remaining from the Bush II administration. So with politics overlying this whole issue, the board knew that it would be going down to 2 members. So on the advice of the internal solicitor's office and others, the board presumably delegated, took that advice and delegated its powers from 4 to 3. And then a day after or so, the board was reduced to 2 members, but continued to operate on the theory that it was a group quorum 2 of a delegee group of 3 that had been delegated the powers by a prior group of 4. And as we go through the majority opinion, the court certainly points out the problem of whether or not doing this at the last minute, knowing that the delegation to a quorum of 3, which is required at all times, according to the majority, could really suffice to then lend legitimacy to the operations of the board for over 2 years going forward and issuing some 600 decisions. The Supreme Court majority clearly noted that from time to time, when the board is constituted with a quorum of 3 or 3 or more members, that decisions do issue from time to time of 2, where 1 person is recused. But the issue here is this really appropriate on an ongoing basis for that length of time? So in terms of the analysis, the court basically looked at the language and indicated that there was no express discussion in the language of the statute. There is nothing that precisely states that 2 members could act on an ongoing basis ad infinitum. There was also no discussion that Congress even intended to authorize 2 members on an ongoing basis. The issue would be resolved only if the language were to clearly state one way or the other that the board could or could not operate with a minimum of two. Now, the court gave notice to the several decisions from various courts of appeals looking at, or rather analogizing really, to how Article III appellate court panels operate. And from time to time, of course, they note that some decisions will issue with two judges. But this is also not an ongoing situation, and it occurs for the same type of recusal basis. The court specifically stated that it was not persuaded by the NLRB's argument that the court should read the statute authorizing only two members in order to advance the congressional objective of board efficiency. The court went to great lengths to acknowledge that it was not insensitive to the board's understandable desire and, quite frankly, the good efforts of Chairman Schomburg and then Chairman Liebman, the two of them together, to continue to operate given these deficiencies in the congressional process of allowing nominees to be confirmed or recess appointments to continue. The recess appointments were not permitted because, again, Senator Reid precluded the Congress from technically adjourning to allow for recess appointments. The court concluded by just simply saying that if two members were sufficient, the statutory language should say so, and Congress could well do so by amending the statute. In the minority, Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor, they noted that the two-member board operated for more than 26 months and that the state of affairs, quote, to say the least, was not ideal. The minority goes on to discuss the presentation by the majority and states that, quite frankly, where two members act as a quorum of a group of three, that regardless of the reason for the absence of the third member, the language of the statute justifies the going forward as long as it was based on a quorum. And in this case, there was a quorum of three at the time the board delegated its power to a group of three. And going forward, these decisions were decided by a group of two of that quorum. The debate continues with the dissenters basically saying that Congress could have required a delegee group to maintain three members, but it did not do so. So it's really a counter-argument to the majority, basically over the lack of clarity in the underlying statutory Section 3B. And, of course, the minority did refer to how appellate courts operate in decisions. It also, the minority also noted the some five courts of appeals decisions arguing in favor of the board going forward and deciding cases with two members. The court acknowledges as well that this is extraordinary and that, quote, it is not optimal for a two-member quorum to exercise the full powers of the board for an extended period of time, end of quotation. But despite all of that, argued that the language of delegation, vacancy, group, majority was sufficient to make those decisions legitimate. At the end of the day, of course, I think based also on questions at oral argument, the majority is simply pointing out that if a quorum is based on three or more, according to the language of 3B, and the authorities of the full board can be delegated to a quorum, then it is one thing for a group of two to decide a case as long as there's an ongoing quorum of three. But it's quite another to continue and issue this many decisions over this length of a period without questioning whether or not there is legitimacy in the process. And of course, I think it's also important here to point out what was not said, which is an Article III court is different from an adjudicatory body and certainly from the National Labor Relations Board, where underneath all of this has been a long period argued by many stakeholders as well as observers that the board is prone to politics and that the board is also involved in issues that dramatically impact the relationship of parties, unions, and management and employees, so that the nature of what the board does is different. And in this case, the language of the statute, according to the majority, would have to be clear and allow the allow a quorum to delegate its powers, in fact, to a group of two when the quorum goes away, and that the language does not do. So at the end of the day, hopefully Congress can either step in to clarify that it will allow decisions by two, which, of course, one would think if it ever did that, it would also specify that there should be at least a difference of party backs, Republican and Democrat, to assure at least some representation of values and concerns representing all parties to the controversy. And that concludes our discussion. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.